After 32 years, I came out of the closet as a gay Christian pastor. Finally, on the outside of that suffocating prison, I'm looking around and I'm like, we can't stay here. It's not enough to become informed. We have to do something about the harm we're still witnessing within systems and spaces we've been loyal to for so long. It's time we become reformers. All right, welcome back to the show. I'm doing a mini series on shows and movies that were impactful for my coming out process, both out of the closet as a gay person, but then also kind of coming out of evangelicalism and impacting my politics, my citizenship as a global participant in the world rather than just the tiny evangelical box I was raised in. These movies and shows are not going to come out in any particular order. I just want to like pick the ones that had like unique impact. And the one I want to start with is, I'm kind of surprised by this, but it's Rocket Man, starring Taron Egerton. This is a movie about Sir Elton John, right? And here's the thing. I just want to disclaim real quick. I know some of you are going to hate me for this, but I did not grow up listening to Elton John. So I didn't, you know, develop that affinity and appreciation for his music. I probably know some of his songs, but I can't sing any certain Elton John song to you right now. I don't know them well. I don't know most of his music, actually. And it's like surprising to me how popular he is and how many people like his music, because I don't know hardly any of it. And so obviously that's not why I watch this movie, but obviously knowing that Elton John is a gay man and this film being about his life, and of course that being an element that comes up, I wanted to just expose myself to seeing that struggle on screen, seeing somebody go through it, seeing the pain, the beauty, the hope, the inspiration, the overcoming, the difficulty, the challenges. I just wanted to see myself in it, right? I wanted to feel my pain and struggle be validated. I wanted to like know someone else in the world got it. So watching these movies or shows like does give you that cathartic release. Like, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one. I'm not crazy, right? It's that social validation that is so essential to our own, you know, like well-being. So this movie definitely hit. It's obviously like really painful to watch him go through his journey and like kind of spiral out and, you know, feel deeply alone and go to drugs and just like kind of sabotage his life a little bit. And I want to throw in another movie just as a second to this. This came later. Oh, I'm not going to remember the name of it. Is it Bohemian Rhapsody? Is that the name of the movie? The movie about what's the lead singer of Queen? I'm forgetting his name right now. That's going to haunt me. I'm not re-recording this. It's okay. I'll come back to that. Freddie Mercury, my God. And now I'm not going to remember the actor who played him. Oh, no. I know his name. I'm not going to get it. Anyway, I watched that movie in theaters. Actually, I might have watched that before. I don't know. Anyway, very similar story arcs, right? Like you've got this gay man who becomes famous for being a performer and a singer slash maybe songwriter. I'm not sure if they wrote the music or not. Again, another disclaimer, like I'm not a huge Queen fan either. And not because I don't like their music. I just didn't grow up listening to them. Let me just say that I was raised by deeply evangelical parents, right? So of course I never heard Elton John or Queen growing up, aside from just like their music showing up in, you know, like, I don't know, events or movies or something. I didn't really hear their music. Now, if you ask me about Yanni or John Denver or CCM, that's a different story. That's a different story. Oh God. Anyway, Bohemian Rhapsody has a very similar arc as Rocket Man, where these two characters are gay men performing, wildly famous, right? And behind the scenes, struggling, right? Because their world is like they have so much pressure and attention on them, and they have such a desire to be authentic and to express themselves and be honest, and yet also trying to maintain a public image and not, you know, negatively impact their career because of who they are. And so there's all this behind the scenes, backdoor, you know, dysfunctional relational dynamic stuff going on, codependency, substance abuse. Like that's a very strong theme in both films. It's actually kind of awkward how like similar the path is. And I don't think it's just these two guys. Like I think there are a lot of characters in the world who kind of went through very similar pipelines like this. But the thing that I want to bring up about Rocket Man that was beautiful, and this is a spoiler alert, and if you haven't seen the movie, like I don't feel bad about spoiling it because it's been out for like 5 years, 4 years? 4 years-ish. Anyway, we see Elton John's childhood, right? Like there's this kid who, which by the way, fun little like I didn't know this at the time, but Kit Connor, the guy who plays Charlie's boyfriend in Heartstopper, what's his name? Nick Nelson. That's the same actor, is the kid version of Elton John in Bohemian Rhapsody. Super cute. Anyway, we see him as a child in the beginning of the movie, right? And a couple times we see him, his child form, like memories, responses to things going on in his life, whatever. He goes through this whole journey, right? Has this wild career, is wildly successful, rich, famous, and just so unhappy, right? Isolated, depressed. And we get to the end of this story, and he's like struggled so much and done so much like sabotage at that point, and just kind of checking out and just doesn't care. This, you know, his life sucks. He's miserable. Yeah, it's like painful to watch, right? And then he ends up in this room with all these haters from his journey that you've watched, right? Different characters, the actors show up in this room and they all like just kind of start saying their things. Most of them are just so overtly negative and traumatizing characters and events in his life, right? But then that little Kit Connor kid shows up. It's his child version of himself, right? Standing before the adult version of him. And you've been on this journey with this character. And the kid looks up to him and he says, "When are you gonna hug me?" And of course, I lost it at that point, right? And the actor reaches down and scoops the kid up. And it's this beautiful moment, but it was so like gripping and beautiful and beautiful in an important time in my life, right? Like I needed stuff like this at the time. And so when I saw that, it made me weep because it was so resonant with the life lesson that I was on the actual path of learning myself. I knew that it was giving language and visual to something that I intuitively was reaching for and actively trying to get to, but hadn't actually accomplished yet or like hadn't lived out yet. And I wouldn't have said it out loud like this, probably because it was too cheesy, but absolutely a lesson I was on the journey of learning at that time in my life was, like at a greater degree than I ever had before, was to love myself, to have compassion for myself, in some ways to hug me, you know? It was just this beautiful display of innocence and like a visceral human need for acceptance and love, and how easily we can get like distracted from these essential parts of our core because of politics and religion and bigotry and prejudice and discrimination and all this absurdity that we make up and dehumanize people and ourselves, right? And so it was this beautiful redemptive moment that just lightning struck a chord in me. I was like, yes, that is it. That's what I need. That's what all of the gay people need. We need this, you know, it's kind of how it felt. It was like giving voice and expression to something deep in me that I did not know how to express. I didn't know how to like articulate it. I didn't know how to like identify it. And here this movie was like giving that to me. And it was so beautiful and important. And I was so thankful for it. And I remember I was living in a townhome. My buddy Marcus and I were living together. He was away at work. And I was literally like every day, like watching a movie or a show by myself in the living room, you know, amidst the work I was doing, because I was in this weird place of turning my life upside down and like actively like coming out to myself and doing the work of like facing the theology and confronting all the, you know, bad theology I'd been taught. And it was a process, right? And it took months of doing that. It was scary. I was so trepidatious. There was a lot of details to comb through. And all the while, supplementing that academia and like the intellectual side of the process, I was watching these movies to witness humanity, emotion, innocence, desire, right? Just the permission, the art, right? The permission to acknowledge and admit what it means to be human in a way that study and research and statistics and scholarship doesn't always afford or doesn't like regard, you know, at the same level of impact. Like I needed that. And so it was a way of humanizing myself in the midst of not knowing how to do so, right? So I like learned how to do that initially from film, from art. Like I needed the artist to show me and tell me and touch my feelings and allow me to get there myself before I was able to connect, you know, the logistics and the technicals and the behind the scenes stuff and the hardwiring to the emotions and the feelings, the experiences that came with it. Beautiful, important, necessary. So The first movie I'm putting on the list is Rocket Man. And then secondarily, because it's so similar, I'm adding Bohemian Rhapsody to it. I liked Rocket Man more. It hit me in the feels and touched the humanity part of me more, I think, than Bohemian Rhapsody did. And I'm sorry for forgetting that actor's name. I still, to this, I almost had it. No. Malik? Oh, I don't, anyway. Yeah, so that was like, it was a fun movie, right? It was obviously an exposure to his music. So if you're an Elton John fan, like, you're going to love that movie because, like, it's a compilation of a bunch of his probably best songs. And I'm thinking, like, oh, they're probably going to make a Taylor Swift movie about, like, at some point about her life, right? With that kind of vibe, which would be really fun because I'm a Taylor Swift fan. So if you're an Elton John fan, like, you're probably going to love that movie for that alone. But then as a queer person, like, that movie represented me. That movie gave my experience, my struggles, my challenges, my desires and needs, voice and expression. And I'm so thankful for it. So I'm hoping these episodes are going to be a little shorter than usual. So this one is going to be shorter. I don't want to go too long and beat these down, but, like, yeah, I just wanted to, like, give these certain pieces of art the credence they deserve for the ways that they impacted me. And, like, to this day, the thing that I remember the most from Rocket Man is that scene in the end where he is looking at his child self. When are you going to hug me? Or so it was, I might even be quoting it right. When are you finally going to hug me? I think was the line. And even if you're not queer, like, that's still so beautiful and important, you know? Like, so many of us have not learned, don't have the time, haven't taken the time or done the work to, like, recognize even the need for it. But, like, we all need to be able to witness ourselves, the innocence in us, and learn to love that kid. And touching that place, like, really empowers us to do the work of advocating for ourselves and our needs and confronting, you know, violation within our internal structures, but then also relationships and circumstances around us. Like, we all need that. And I think evangelicals maybe specifically need that because we are taught from such a young age how to give our autonomy away for the sake of, you know, fill in the blank, all these other things we trade it for. And that's just so unhealthy and unsafe to exist like that in the world. Okay, anyway, there's that one. I'll jump in the next one in the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Listen, there's more where this came from. If you want to dive deeper, check out MikeMayashiro.com.